No, Justin's done a really nice job through the off-season program. You know, he went to Florida, trained at IMG, came back 10 pounds heavier, and he's done a really really good job to this point.
He big enough for you, or you still want to keep eating?
It's going to be a constant battle with him with that stuff. You know, I think he's over the 200-pound mark since the first time since he's been here. I think he reported about 203, which was 10 pounds heavier than his lightest here. So we're happy with that.
See him in the slot a little bit, Dal. It doesn't seem like that would be the characteristic spot for him, but does he have the versatility to do stuff like that?
He's going to be primarily outside, but everyone on the roster, wide receiver, except for Kenny Britt's learned in every position. Kenny is solely at the X.
Offensive line is such a chemistry-type position. How much is it hurting Wormack by not being here getting what needs to be implemented right now?
Well, we wish he was here, obviously, you know, but you know, we went through the same thing with Kendall last year. He wasn't here. He came in and led our team in receptions as a rookie. So we'll get him up to speed as soon as we get him here. I know he's working hard. He's in good shape, and he's been running down in Tuscaloosa.
At some point, does he, you know, I assume he's penciled in as a starter, but at some point, even though it's early, does that start to become a little bit of a question mark if it, you know, remains?
You'd have to ask that to Coach Munchak on the depth chart issues.
Do you stay in touch? I mean, or somebody staying in touch with Chance during this just to make sure he is?
I know Vin Marino's been talking to him a lot. you know, we've been on top of that. I know Coach Munchak's talked to him a couple times. I'm sure that the rest of the guys have as well. I haven't personally.
With the Delanie Walker being out, how does that change or, you know, alter things for the system? I know you guys were counting on him a bit.
It has altered things in some capacity because we're not going to install stuff that we would do with just Delanie now. It's been a good opportunity for Taylor to take the next step and start to get more reps that way, but that we wouldn't use Taylor the same way we'd use Delanie.
So I was going to say, yeah, so you just hold off kind of on
it. Slowed down the install a little bit. You know, there's obviously things that we're going to do with Delanie that would be specifically for Delanie that we've held out to this point.
How's Jake been so far, and what's the key for him during the grind at camp?
Well, the key to him for him is to get better every day, and without a doubt. And to this point, he's been pretty solid. You know, missed a couple throws last night. Obviously, he would have loved to make, and we'd have loved to see him make. But to this point, it's been pretty solid.
But other than footwork and technique and things you've been preaching to him since he got here, I mean, where does he need to make his biggest improvements? Before the season starts.
It just makes sure we're talented enough around him now that he just needs to drive the bus and get the ball to playmakers. He doesn't have to do anything on his own. He needs to use his legs when he has an opportunity to, and he needs to, you know, be okay checking the ball down and not force and not make bad decisions. If we can be successful in offense the way we're going to run the ball, if we just don't turn it over throwing it.
Bruce and Stewart maybe weren't up to their standard last year. We know part of that was what was going on between them. You presume, as they're healthy and out there and with better guys between them, they're still very much in their prime and not – no.
I expect both of them to have good years. And I'm happy with both of them. Both of them are going to be here for a long time.
Gordon, I know it's just shoulder pads today, but do you see much separation a little today, a little more popping?
There will be. The next two or three days are going to separate a lot of people in the depth chart. You know, there'll be the center competition is going to intensify now that we put pads on.
When do you kind of ideally like to have a starter at center? I mean, to get used to Jake more.
You know, he's getting reps with all three guys that are competing for the spot, or four guys, however many it may be. But, you know, we're not going to put it in a timeline. When it's time, the right guy's going to step up, and we'll all know it. Everyone on the team will know it. The guy who takes it over, who does things the right way, and the leadership role in the center that we need.
Is it a hard position for a rookie to jump in right away at center to start as a rookie?
No, it's not. You know, because we're fortunate. You get to spend so much time with these guys in the offseason with all these phase two and OTA workouts, and then you get training camp, mini camps. So there'll be plenty of time, if you're referring to Swinky, to get up to speed.
You're looking forward to seeing him. You've seen him on tape, obviously. You've been around him. But to see him in pads and see kind of what he's known for up close, is that one of the guys?
Swinky?
Yeah.
I am excited. Yeah. I'm excited for him because he's just such a big man. He's really explosive, and I think that now that we got the pads on, he's going to toss some people around today and get after the guys a little bit.
A guy like Colin Mooney, who's in a fight for a roster spot, that sort of thing, how much does it enhance his value that he's able to play a little bit at tailback when you need him as well as fullback?
It's a must for him. He's going to have to play fullback, tailback, and do a good job on special teams. But, you know, we've given opportunities to play in tailback in camp, and he looked pretty good last night, and he's done a nice job with it. He's a smart guy, can learn the protections in both tailback and fullback.
I know you're not looking at the defense when you look at your film, but are there times that you notice guys, the defenders, so to speak, Do you see Akeem Mayers showing up in different ways, and what from your perspective?
Well, the guys that really have stood out to me on tape so far to this point are Akeem, Zach Brown, and Pollard. You know, their speed, their athleticism, the two linebackers show up a lot on tape, and then Pollard's leadership and his knack of in the run game and in zone coverage is finding the right spot.
Ayers problematic to defend as a pass rusher?
He can be. You know, we're never going to put CJ on him or even Sean Green at that matter. We'll always match him up. But when you start talking about that from that standpoint, then Greg and Jerry have, you know, a lot of flexibility to move him around and do different things with protections.
You guys just go with three QBs in camp. I know you've played the kids for the past couple of years. Is that just because Jake's going to get the majority and just not enough snaps to go around?
And I think part of it, yes, is part of that, and part of it's we have more talent in the other skill positions, more competition, and we need to keep those guys around and see what's going to happen. You know, with Delaney down, we have different numbers of tight end, and the receiver room, there's so much competition in that room. You know, so we had to keep extra legs there. You know, and so that some of those younger guys doing a good job of trying to make sure that Kenny Britt doesn't get too many reps and he's smart with him. You know, the thing about Kenny is last night he had his best practice of the of camp so far. And he didn't catch a ball, but he's running really well and he did a really good job with being in the right spots, right places.
I know this is a decision, you know, closer to the season, but do you think you guys can afford because of the numbers to keep three quarterbacks in the roster? I mean, Rusty's not going to get a lot of work this offseason, I guess. And
Rustin doesn't let me play GM, so you're going to have to ask him. I try all the time, but it don't work.
But you like Rusty?
I do like Rusty. I think that, you know, gotten to know him, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years, developing him that way. And I think every year he gets a little bit better and becomes a better quarterback and a better passer. And, you know, sometimes what happens is you got to see in the NFL, there's not as many third quarterbacks as what there used to be. And with a talented roster, sometimes that, you know, it's a luxury to be able to keep that third guy. But we'll see. Rusty's doing a nice job at this point.
But you would fight for him, it sounds like, if it came.
I would stay on the table to keep Rusty, yes.
What, in your opinion, Dow, what's the most important thing a running back's coach can teach a running back?
Well, first of all, it's the work ethic. It's the attitude. And I think that when you guys watch 28, I think everyone out here knows he's been a little bit different this camp than he's been the last two or three camps. And I think that that's a big influence of what Coach Kroom has brought to the table here. You know, he's CJ looks really explosive. I think the other thing is pass pro. I think that's a big thing. And there's a lot of moving parts in that. We start talking about nickel defenses and overload pressures and three down defenses.
As far as running the ball itself, though, how much for a running back is maybe natural instinct as opposed to being taught something, do you think?
What's the discipline of vision? You know, and some of those guys, obviously, you have a God-given gift of having vision. Yeah, but, you know, the running back coach have to stay on top of that, to make sure they're being disciplined, make sure they're reading the three technique, filling the nose, that type of stuff, and they're disciplined with their tracks.
On a smoke route, on a now route,
yes,
you run. What signals you to that, and what, maybe you read me, what signals you to that, what's that good against, and how does it have to work in order to maximize the receiver's chances to do something?
So the reason you do it is because it's an eight-man run adjustment. All right? So they stack the box. They put eight people in the box, and you know you can't block the safeties because your receivers are in normal splits. That's where it comes up. And we game planned it last night to get Kendall to get the one-on-one with the corner with the safety down the other side.
Got
to
be perfect.
Premier
placement.
Look.
Perfect placement. I mean, if he's bending over to pick it up.
Perfect placement, as long as he catches it and can turn up and run with it.
Can he turn and run with it a lot faster if it's right here as opposed to right here?
Yes.
When you put this playbook together, and you know, how much did you draw from what you've been around here with all your experiences, and what was the one thing you wanted most? In, obviously, with Munch wanting to emphasize the run, what was the one thing you were wanting in this offense the most?
Well, I think everything came from what I've, you know, learned here. I was one year with the Dallas Cowboys, wasn't there long, you know, but it all came from here, studying other people around the league. And the one thing that we wanted to do is make sure we did a good job, had enough the runs, the play action, all stuff tied together, and the shifts, emotions, all that stuff.
It's a little early, but looking at Ruse and Levitre on the same side together, what do you like about that combo so far?
Well, I like that we have two really good players on the left side, you know, and two really smart players as well. And that's going to help whoever the center is, having those two guys. You're going to have a young guy next to you, the right guard. And Dave Stewart, who you guys know, doesn't say a whole lot. So, you know, that side kind of the line is going to kind of take care of itself. And for a right-handed quarterback, that's your, you know, blind side.
Munch said that the new offense gets rid of a ton of gray area. For a guy to not be able to decide what to do in this offense, difficult? Does he have to really be screwing up to not be able to know?
You have to trust the system and not the thing I think that we all fight as quarterbacks and receivers is don't get – when you get bored, you start to create. And that was one of the things I took from Coach Moore when he was here for those 5 weeks, and it was one of his fights with Peyton Manning is don't get bored, just trust the system. Go through the progression, 1, 2, 3. Don't start eliminating stuff. Keep out all the mental clutter.
You took over, I guess, last year. You guys are a little bit of a mess, and you took over 5 weeks left. This is kind of your offense now. I mean, what's your mindset heading in? I mean, what kind of pressure you put on yourself to get this unit where it needs to be?
The same pressure that I put on the players every day is that just like those guys, I need to grow as a coach every day, and I need to make sure I'm getting better and never make the same mistake twice because we're all going to make mistakes. But, you know, I put a lot of pressure on myself to do that and make sure – the number one thing is we're putting guys in situations to succeed and make sure that, you know, those guys, you know, have opportunities to touch the ball and do what they do well.
Were there mistakes that you made during that run that maybe it was good that you got out of your system and you're not going to make the same mistake twice to have had those 4 or 5 games give you kind of?
Yes, I think that there was definitely things that I learned from. I don't know if I call them mistakes, but definitely things in situations that I learned from. You know, and yeah, I learn stuff every day, just like I'll say the Kenny Britt having his best practice yesterday. I knew I need to do a better job scripting to make sure he catches the ball early. You know, that way everyone knows that how well he did practice yesterday.
I mean, did you find it tougher to kind of relax your mind a little bit during the offseason because of the responsibility that's on you? And you probably always think of football, but was it different this offseason compared to previous?
Well, you feel more burdened to make sure the stuff's done. Make sure that now, because now you're responsible for 6 or 7 coaches on your side of the ball, make sure that they have scripts on time and the install's done, that Arthur Smith has all the stuff for the playbook, that when you leave that he can have that stuff printed and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, there's always something, and it's never ending, whether it be off season or in season. There's always something that needs to be done or can be done to get better.
Of statistics for this offense, how important is improving time of possession?
It's huge. More importantly, it's probably the most important statistic to improve our defense. But absolutely for us, because that means what we're doing is we're staying on the field and we're not in 3rd and 9, we're not in 3rd and 8, that – there were too many games last year when you look at the statistics that it was 1st and 8, 2nd long. We have to do a great job on 1st and 10, making 4 yards. And that's what's going to help Jake Locker more so than anything, is keeping out of obvious passing drop-back situations.
What does Craig Stevens do to kind of get under the skin of defensive players? How come he's a guy that's always usually in a fight out here?
Because he's a tough guy, and he's got the attitude that he needs to come out here and do his job, and he's always going to be the guy that's going to finish and do his job, and some guys don't like that.